Welcome back to Alyssa Explains It All. I clap at the beginning of every time I do that, by the way. And you know, yeah, I guess you don't see that and I don't think you hear it, but I do it every single time. So welcome back to Alyssa Explains It All. Hot Mess Express every single time. Today we have friend of the pod, Alana Dunn, on. She is a returning guest, and we have her new podcast co-host, Carly Silverman. The two of them are, I just adore them both. I really do. They're so wonderful. And they have shared so much about their lives with their audience. And I really, it's just, I'm so impressed by the both of them. They go into like tons of detail about the highs and the lows of being in your 20s and what that experience is like friendship breakups and relationship breakups and social media and anxiety and changing your career around and all this other stuff in between. They have this amazing podcast called Life in Progress. And every time they post a clip of this show, I'm like, damn, these girls, they really are talking about, like, I wish I had their podcast when I was in my like early 20s, because it would have saved me a lot of hurt. So I appreciate them spending time with us today. You guys are going to love, love, love them. Thank you so much again for coming on. I adore these ladies. So enjoy Carly and Alana. Your hair looks so good.
I just did the front pieces with the shark, like the two of them.
Okay, I feel like I need the shark, but I also, like, it's just so much money spent. And I know once I have it, I'm sure I'll love it.
But, well, hold on. Here's the thing. Are you good at doing your hair with a curler, wand, whatever?
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Okay, then it would be worth it for you. I bought the Dyson, and I am horrible at doing my own hair. And it is the biggest waste of money for me ever,
because
I can't. It has like a great blow dryer and I can do like a good blow dry with it. But the wand, I don't use it because it doesn't stay.
Interesting.
It definitely doesn't stay that well.
It doesn't. That surprises me, because I feel like that was part of their whole like,
yeah,
what they were selling, like, people on.
This will be out in a couple hours. But like, it looks good right now. So
that's
like,
all you need for now. You didn't put any spray in it.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, then that's great. Today my hair is really greasy, so I slicked it back.
Love the slick.
And then it's raining, so I took the dogs out to go pee, and I was like, it doesn't even matter.
Nope.
It doesn't even matter. We're hanging in. Well, thank you for coming on. This has been literally the longest time coming. We've had the craziest bad juju getting you guys on, so I'm so happy that we finally made it work today. Good morning, Carly and Alana.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh my God.
I'm embarrassed about how long it took for this to happen.
No, same. Like, part of it was like, I was in Scotland and I was like, I was ambitious in thinking that I was going to be able to be productive on this trip. Didn't happen. You know, and how are you feeling, Alana? Because you had COVID last week when we were going to do this last time. What the heck?
I'm in the clear. I'm all better. I'm finally out of like my quarantine, and I was so excited to like go out and about today. And it's raining, so I'm really sad. But I will be going to the gym, and that'll be my outing.
Good.
I don't think any of our rescheduling has been my fault.
That's true. You have been very readily available and flexible, and we love you for that.
Maybe that's
bad. There was a lot of postponing on our collective end.
Sure. But I think it was mostly me. It doesn't matter. Whatever. We're here. And I'm excited that you guys are here, because you have, like, I feel like there's a lot that's happened since we first tried to schedule to now. There's been like a whole bunch of stuff that happened. And so we've had Alana on the podcast before. And when we did that, you had just gotten engaged. And actually, when you got engaged, we had a different day scheduled, and then you thought that you were like, I don't feel well, and you were like pretty sure the engagement was going to happen. And so we pushed it out like a week. How weird is that?
It was literally on Friday, and I knew I was getting engaged on Monday.
Yeah.
I thought I was, and I wasn't feeling well. I was like, I need to rest.
Yeah, that's so funny. And so, yeah, then we actually got scheduled. You had just gotten engaged. Now, Carly, you're engaged too. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Did you know it was coming?
No.
Not at all?
Not even like, I knew it was happening this year at some point. I thought it was going to be like December. So like, can confidently say I had no idea. And it's been fun. It's been fun.
Yay. How did he do it?
He did it at my parents' beach house in New Jersey at the shore. And I had made this plan with my family. Like, I basically planned my own engagement. I made this plan. I'm like, everyone's going to be here. My brother, my sister, the boyfriends, the babies, whatever. We're all here. We need to do a family photo shoot. So I set the whole thing up. I helped find the photographer, whatever. Like, I was like, everyone needs to wear jeans and a white shirt. We are doing a photo shoot. I don't care what anyone says.
Okay. And
I guess he just used that as like the thing. So we were all ready. We all go down to the beach. And then all of a sudden I look to my right and there's this like huge setup walkway. And I was kidding. I was like, is this for me? But like as a joke. And like, yeah. And then I turn around. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I turn around and I see everyone recording and I'm like, No.
Okay. No. This actually answers a lot of questions for me because I always wonder when people have have their actual engagement happen and they're like dressed exactly correct. Yeah. Like, well, then they had to have known. But that's so funny that you were just like planning just a regular shoot mm-hmm. and he took it. That was really smart of him, mm-hmm. honestly.
Smart guy.
Yeah, that's very cool. That's so exciting. And it's nice that everybody was there too.
Yeah, that was like my biggest thing. My two requirements were my family had to be there and someone needed to be recording it because I needed to post it on TikTok.
Yes. Priorities.
Priorities. That's it.
Priorities. And so for those of you who may not know, Alana and Carly do a podcast together called Life in Progress. Carly also has a really wonderful TikTok. I was browsing through some of that this morning and it's very funny. Like I saw the one you were talking about your fiance annoying the shit out of you like right in the morning.
Always.
And I was like, word, I get that. And I understand that happens. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the both of you have gotten really, really good at being like vulnerable and relatable and just like throwing it all out there and people were like, oh my God, thank God.
I think we have. And then we also get a lot of mean comments where
you do?
Yeah. We do.
About what?
Anything and everything. Yeah. Like we'll post a video where like there's no way anybody could possibly say anything mean and suddenly we're the most insufferable people on the app. It's a direct quote from user 2468321
right
last week.
Right, exactly. You know what, there's something weird going on I feel like on socials in the past like month or two where people are really mean. Like I don't know if there's just like not enough happening elsewhere in the world and people are bored, but I saw literally I was writing them down in my notes app because I was like there's no way that this is real, but it's real. Someone who made apple butter. And all of the comments were horrendous. And they were like, butter? There's no butter in this. And they're like, sweetie, this is applesauce. And I'm like, you think that you're calling this girl an idiot, but meanwhile, apple butter is a thing. And you look like a big dumb fuck because you really cared that much that this girl called it apple butter. And she responded, she was like, I didn't make up apple butter. Like, this is not something that I conceptualized. Yeah. I was like, this can't be real. I can't believe that people care this much. There was another one, this girl who made like pastina because her kids were sick. And so like she posted the whole recipe and the comments were like, Italians always think that they created everything. This is just chicken soup. My like, God. What?
Who cares? That's the thing. I would love to actually survey like all of the people that I know were in my phone contacts and find out how many of them have ever actually posted a mean comment like that? Because who the hell are the people that are doing this?
Who's doing this?
There's enough of them that we must know them.
You know what, though? I think about that, and I think the people that we are, like, I don't think that any of us in this room would be friends with someone who leaves mean comments.
No.
Not to be elitist in that way, but I just don't really see that happening. But I feel like I can think of a few people that I know can't mind their business and care that much about someone else's soup preferences and need to let...
Like, what do they get out of writing that?
I don't know. And that's really, like, that's the whole takeaway from it. Every time I see them, I'm like, it's wild that this you really felt like was so worth leaving, this comment. It's just so wild.
It's funny because someone commented on my TikTok the other day, and I think the exact words were, you are quite literally the most annoying person on this app. And then
they follow you.
They follow me. Someone else commented on it, like replying to them, being like, you know, you're just helping her engagement. And I'm like, yeah, you are.
Period. Keep going. Exactly. I don't ever delete hate comments unless they like really upset me and I'm like, this isn't worth me like stewing over this, so I'll just get rid of it for my own sake. But a lot of the times I'm like, thanks for helping boost me like in the algorithm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what the hell? And it's always the people that follow you, or not the people that follow you, but it's people who leave comments like that where I'm like, but you follow me. Or you could also just simply scroll. Like, why do you feel like...
No, it's crazy. Social media is wild.
It is.
Right before we got on this recording, I was showing Carly, I posted a video when I had COVID of me eating a sandwich and drinking a smoothie saying, like, I was having really weird cravings during COVID where I'd go from having no appetite to wanting such a specific thing.
Yeah.
And so I got the specific sandwich that I was craving. And somebody commented saying, like, I hope you wore a mask when you went out to get that. And I'm like, don't let it bother me. Don't let it bother me. But it fucking bothered me because, first of all, there's food delivery services. I have friends who were bringing me food. My mom was like bringing me groceries and medicine and stuff. But even if I went to go get it, why in the world, and this person followed me, why would they assume that I'm the type of person who would go outside with COVID, not wearing a mask, with the intention of getting other people sick?
It's all those historically reckless behaviors that you have, Alana.
Exactly. It's really my character is just why they thought that I would do that.
Exactly. So I want to talk about Life in Progress because this has been, you guys, has it been like 3 months it has been going on?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Crazy.
That's so exciting. And I love the topics that you choose to talk about. The general theme is like talking about the highs and lows of being in your 20s, which is great because as a person who is nearing the end of my 20s, thank God, I can't wait to close that chapter because I think it's just like people say that your 20s are your best years. And there's like some parts of it that are great. Like I think after your 20s, like you're locked into some responsibilities forever and ever until you die. And in your 20s, sometimes you just like you're still, they're adding on through the years of your 20s, and that's great. But your 20s are hard. They're
hard.
My God, they're so hard. And I was looking at like the description that you have for the show and having it be like social anxiety and career anxiety and friendships, and the friendship piece like really stood out to me because that. I feel like people don't really talk about how hard it is when you're transitioning from being environments like high school, college, where making friends is so much easier. And then you're in your 20s and you're not in those environments anymore. And then you're like, what do I do?
Yeah, I could literally talk about friendships for hours on hours and I won't do that. But I do feel like it's one of the most empowering and important things to talk about because I don't feel like many people are talking about it. And I've been through so much friendship shit in my 20s that I wish I had people that I could relate to and like realize that this is all normal and it's okay and nothing's wrong with you. And I don't know, I think that's what me and Alana really wanted to start this podcast for, is because we felt so many different ways about so many different topics in our 20s. And we were just like, does anybody else feel like this? Are we the only ones? And we wanted a place to just talk about the shit that nobody talks about.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad that this is the platform that you guys created, because I think it's even like the TikTok clips are just so great. And I love it. So talking about friendships and wanting to be so vulnerable about them, has there anything that you've already talked about that you've gotten a lot of feedback where people are like, oh my God, thank God somebody understands?
Oh my God, so much. I think talking about friendship breakups, and I want to let Carly speak to this because she's the one who really kind of spearheaded this topic because she has recently gone through some pretty intense friendship breakups, but it's something that people are so afraid. And I get it. Like a lot of people don't want to put their whole life and their intense shit out there online, but it's so important to do because when you're going through it, you feel like you're the only person in the world who's ever felt this. And it's so confusing. Mm-hmm. And so when we put that out there of like friendship breakups happen, they don't have to be somebody's fault. Here's different ways you react. Here's how they make you feel. Here's how you move forward from it. And here's how you can empower yourself to, you know, choose friends that have the same values as you, like are in the same place as you, want to grow in the same ways as you. It was just really rewarding to see how many people that resonated with. But Carly, take it away with friendship breakups.
No, I mean, everything you said is so accurate. I think the biggest thing that resonated was one, friendship breakups, and two, not being in this quote unquote group of friends anymore and not feeling like you have that group chat or, you know, that group of friends that you're always doing things with. I talked about how this is the first time in my life where I actually do not have a group of friends. Mm-hmm. And I have never felt such a relief. I don't feel that anxiety anymore, because I feel like when I had that group of friends, it was just a constant battle of, why are we friends? And are we friends for the right reasons? And is everyone in this group of friends actually friends with each other? And who likes who better? And female friendships are so hard. And I think groups are toxic, honestly. Yeah. I think some can work and some are great. But my entire life, I had friendship anxiety and I was never secure in friendships. And this is the first time in my life where I feel so secure in my individual friendships. And I think it's because I'm not in that group. And I finally found people from different walks of life and different stages of life that just appreciate who I am now. And I think it's really important to understand that it is okay that friendships change from childhood, college, post-grad, your 20s, your 30s. And just I just posted a TikTok about this. It's like having that mindset of it's okay. And it's not personal and nothing's wrong with you. And if friendships drift apart or they change, great. You make new friends and you find new people. There's a million people in this world.
Yeah. It wouldn't make sense for your friendships from high school or college for all of them to stay the same, because you're not the same. You know, it makes sense when you're in a town of a few hundred people or a few thousand people and you're surrounded by these people. So you do the same sports, you have the same classes, you go to the same colleges, you're in the same fraternity, sorority, club, and you're kind of, you become friends because there are things you connect on, but also because they're the people around you. And I think it was really hard for me in my 20s to kind of see, oh, well, these friends, some of them who I thought were like some of my best friends, maybe they're actually just my fun friends, like the people I go out with. Or this friend who I thought I could talk to everything about, it actually doesn't feel very good when I open up to them about what's going on in my dating life. So maybe I shouldn't talk to them about that thing, and that's okay. And so I think just realizing friendships change, and that's okay. And not all friendships are supposed to last forever. And, you know, Carly and I met when we were 28. Yeah. And I think it's so cool. Like, we talk about making friends in your 20s and your 30s. And the fact that that is how it happened for us, like, we became best friends randomly.
Through social media.
Yeah.
Literally through social media, through DMing each other. And I think that that kind of opened up this whole new world for us of, it makes me excited for my future. And that's not to say I don't value and cherish some of my childhood friends and my friends from college, but it is comforting to know that some of your best friends and the people who are going to get you the most, you haven't even met yet, and you could meet them literally any day.
It's really exciting.
It is really exciting. And it's nice to also look at it from the like opportunity standpoint, because like you were saying, you end up having friends based on proximity until you are older and you can explore and branch out, and you're working in an office with new people, or you're going to a gym and there's new people, or you're meeting people on socials and whatever. Like, then you're giving yourself these opportunities to meet people. And when I have talked to people who have a hard time meeting people to like date, I always will ask them where they're looking. And if they're people who are like not at people, which I totally understand, which you guys also have a solution to, which we're going to touch on later. but I always think like, well, if you're a person who doesn't like to go to dive bars, don't go to a dive bar looking for someone to date. Like, that, you know, like, go to places where you feel like you thrive, you're comfortable, you want to know people who enjoy that same hobby. And that's kind of how I feel like building friendships in your 20s and late 20s and your 30s and beyond ends up being, is like, you're in these places that you actually enjoy, which is another part of getting older. It's like, I really don't want, I think, I don't remember where I saw it. It might've been one of you two that posted it, but maybe not, where someone had said like, I don't want to spend more than 30 minutes doing something that I don't enjoy. And I love that. And I think that that's also a huge thing of like being able to make these active choices about what your life looks like and building the life that you want, the friendships that you want. All of that's all kind of connected. And then you can actually like do things that you like with people that you enjoy. And I do also think there's a part of it that's like, you have to know what to expect from all of your friends. Yeah. Like, I have friends, I have friends from high school that like I love. And I know that like, there's like one friend in particular that is really hard to make plans with. And I never take it personally because I know that this is what to expect from them. And so I just, I'm like, I'll see you when I see you. I'm not offended. It is what it is. I just know that when I need a very dependable person to make a plan with or a phone call or whatever, that's not necessarily the person that I'm going to reach out to, but I have other people that I can do that with.
And I think that goes back to what Alana was saying. Like, it's okay to have friends for different things.
Yeah.
And another thing you said that I really loved is how we look at it as an opportunity. And that's the same thing with dating. Mm-hmm. I was just talking to someone who went through a breakup and I'm like, but isn't it so fun that you can, there are people that you are going to date that you haven't met or that your mm-hmm. future husband is out there that you haven't met. I think life is so much better when you look at everything as an opportunity and something new rather than what did I lose?
Yeah, I agree. And I think in general, the best thing that you can do for yourself is give yourself options. And I feel that way with like how you choose to educate yourself and how you choose to like choose your career path or whatever. If you can continue to give yourself options in as many areas of your life as you can, then at least you constantly have that space for opportunity. You constantly have like a little crack in the door where you could be like, okay, well, if I don't like this, it doesn't work out or whatever. There are so many other things that I can explore. And that is so exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People need to understand that it's okay to try something or someone and mm-hmm. decide that's not for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like with dating, you go on a few dates with somebody or even date somebody for 6 months, a year, 2 years and decide that was great, but, and I learned a lot, but this isn't my person. It's the same thing with doing an activity or being friends with somebody or, you know, moving somewhere else. Like, it's okay to try things and realize that's not for me.
Yeah.
And I think it in life, it's so important to know what you don't like. You know, we try and figure out what type of person we do want to be with, what our values are and our deal breakers are with somebody that we want to, you know, have a lifelong relationship with. But in figuring that out, you need to know what you don't want to date.
Yeah.
And what doesn't work for you. So it's okay to try things, realize, okay, absolutely not. That's not for me. Hate that. Don't feel good. And then that gets you one step closer to what does feel good, to what you do enjoy, to the type of person you want to be and be with.
Yeah, absolutely. So now you guys have delved into like a lot of the, or dove into, delved. I don't know. You've discussed a lot about you've discussed a lot about your relationships and friendships and all that kind of stuff. Is there kind of like a mental, like brief checklist of things that you look for when you're scouting a new friend? You're like, I think this person might be a friend, but they have to hit some criteria in your head.
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a really good question. I've never thought about it like that.
My biggest one is that I don't want people to be exhausting to be around. If it's exhausting to be around you, I can't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can't do
that. That helped me think of something. So I feel like I'm not necessarily always like scouting for new, like I'm not like, okay, I need to add people to my friends list,
yeah.
But more so, you know, I meet somebody through a friend, through what I do for a living, through working at whatever it is. And you want to spend more time with somebody. Like you feel like you want to see them again. It's kind of like dating, but what I've realized is I try and take note of how I feel after leaving a hangout with somebody. Mm. And this was a huge lesson that I learned over the last 5 years, where there are some people where I leave the room and I'm second guessing things that I said. I'm questioning, oh, are they judging me for this thing? Should I not have said that thing? Are they talking about me behind my back because I'm now away from that room and not there? And that is a horrible feeling. And so what I started to take note of is, who do I not feel that way around? And over the last few years, I've noticed there are people where I leave and I feel like I'm on a high. I feel like, wow, that was so wonderful. And I'm not second guessing anything.
Yeah.
I feel completely comfortable with myself and comfortable with them. And that is how friendship should feel.
Yeah. And I also think that when you're making friends in your 20s and your 30s is not an easy job. It's not like it was in college and it's not like it was even post-grad. It is hard. So what I look for when I'm meeting new people is, who is actually putting in the energy and effort that I'm also putting in, and is someone matching that? Like, I don't want to feel like I'm constantly trying to make a plan or I'm constantly trying to help this friendship grow. It has to go both ways. Mm-hmm. And meeting friends is like dating at first. You like, it's not going to be comfortable right away. You have to put in the effort of making the plan. So I want people that are interested in also making that plan.
Yeah, I totally get that. And like to just drive in the point of that people who like maybe you have been friends, you experience a breakup, it has nothing to do with a person being a bad person or whatever. Literally exactly like dating, they just might be not be the best fit for you at that time. My like social battery is just so low that like
negative.
And I honestly think it's when you're like really, when you're really into social media and like you spend so much of your life doing it, it's really like your social battery, like it just drains really quickly. So for me, I like my best friend and like my best friend group were all really good at being like, let's make this plan. And if a couple of days before I'm like, guys, I'm so burnt out. Like I can't, no problem. We'll see you next time. And like, that is so like having people that don't get offended when I'm like, I can't follow through on every single thing every single time because I will be in shambles. Having that level of understanding is also really important. And so, you know, knowing that we still have some security there and it has nothing to do with our friendship. And it's actually funny because my best friend and I had this, we don't fight, but we had this like really awkward moment. And this has happened. We've been best friends since we were babies. Like we were born in the Bronx and lived in apartments next door to each other since we were quite literally born. So she was my first friend and we've never had a fight, but we have had these weird moments where if one of us is really busy and the other one is trying to like communicate with them or make plans and the other one like just can't hold up their end of all of it, we'll start to get like, oh my God, are they mad at me? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Am I mad at them? I don't know. I don't think I am. Should I be? And it's really weird. And we have this like weird internal dialogue and we're both doing it at the same time, which is
that's always how it goes.
Oh my God. So recent, like earlier this year, we had one of those moments and she and I went, we went out and we sat down and we were like, we need to stop doing that. Cause that's really dumb. And there's no reason. And it was like, it was so funny. I've been friends with her forever. I'm literally staring at a picture of us on my wall. And like to have one of those moments after all of those years, like, it's just everything is going to ebb and flow and change as you get older and like your circumstances change. That was a big learning moment for us for sure.
I think communication is also just key when it comes to friendships. So,
always. Yeah. With any relationship.
Yeah.
Literally ever. It's so important. It's so important.
And that's one thing that is cool about like later, I don't want to say later in life friendships, like we're pretty young, but making friends at this point in our lives. So like with Carly and I, we're so, I mean, maybe it's because we over-communicate literally every thought in our brain to each other, just in our daily lives and on social media and on our podcast. But I forget what it was. I think like a month ago or 2 months ago or something, we usually meet every morning and I wanted to cancel one of our meetings to go to a workout class. So I just wanted to do that. And I felt like, you know, I get sick a lot, like things come up. So like we kind of freely cancel our meetings and like meet later in the day or we're just very like lax about it. But I was like, can we not do this meeting so I can like go work out or something? And she was like, sure. She was like, okay.
No, I think I said, yeah, like do whatever you want to do. Like,
yeah. And I was like, oh my God, is she mad at me? And have I been like moving the meetings too much? Like, and so I immediately was like, wait, like, are you actually okay with it? Or are you upset about it? And I just said that because I didn't want to like dwell on it. And she was like, oh my God, I literally could not hear that.
Yeah.
So it's like, actually, the more you can openly communicate,
right,
the better.
Yes. Yes. I agree so much. And it's nice to, it's like the three of us talk about relationship stuff in our little private sectors of the world all the time. And so it's nice to unpack the skills that you learn to develop really strong friendships too, because that so often gets like left behind. And I think people feel like it's like not interesting or it's not, not as important because we prioritize our romantic relationships. And I totally get that. I have no problem with people doing that. I also think, side note, it's weird when friend groups are like, she always wants to hang out with her boyfriend or her fiance.
Like, duh.
Right. Do you not want to always hang out with your significant other? Hello? Like, I never understood that. I was like, I don't really. Yeah. Right. That's why we're dating.
It's different if you're completely neglecting your friends.
Yes,
but
of course.
Yeah. If you're spending a few nights a week with your partner who you've been dating for 6 months, a year, 2 years, like, you should be.
Right. Right. It's just like, and also if they weren't my favorite person to hang out with, I wouldn't be dating them. Yeah. Like it's just strange, yeah. strange, but it's nice to just talk about like what skills we all had to learn and like what we had to overcome to understand what we needed to like actually function in adult friendships. Cause no one talks about it ever.
Nope.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you feel like you learned either through like the conversations you've had with each other or even just like therapy conversations that helped you a lot to just like build those communication skills, like do less of like that. I think Carly, you were talking about like it, maybe in a TikTok, like feeling like you have to people please and overcompensate to like keep friendships mm-hmm. and finally realizing that like you just simply don't have to do that. Is there any skill or something that you feel like you overcame to kind of get to where you are?
Yeah, I don't know if I would call it a skill because I definitely am still a big people pleaser. I think what has helped me is being able to be so honest about my insecurities to people and really opening up. And it's on that person if they, you know, appreciate that and respect that and want to build a friendship regardless of that. Mm-hmm. I also think it's just becoming more confident with myself. And I think that's what everything comes down to is being confident with who I am and liking who I am as a person, knowing that I am a good friend regardless of anything else. And if someone can't see that and if someone can't appreciate that, then that's on them and I don't need to be in that relationship. And I think that's what I've realized. And I've also realized as getting older, I don't need to put so much energy into the people that aren't putting it back. There are a million people in this world. And I'm so excited to keep meeting new people. So why am I trying so hard with people who just are not giving it back?
Yeah. That first thing that you mentioned is something that I'm definitely trying to work on. And this is something that I've been talking to my therapist about where I put so much pressure on myself to like be the best friend or to each of my friends or to always make sure like everyone is good with not life because life is really hard and I can't control what happens in other people's lives, but I never want them to be upset with me over something. And so what I'm trying to work on, and I definitely have a long way to go, is kind of separating this idea of like, it's okay for a friend to be upset with me, or like if I cancel a plan or let a friend down, it doesn't mean I'm a bad friend or a bad person. We can't all be perfect for everybody else all the time. I can't always give 110% of myself to every one of my friends, because a lot of the times that will come at not giving 100% to myself. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I really struggle with, where like I always want my friends to look at me in a positive light and not be upset with me, not be mad at me, not think I did something wrong in their eyes. But I can't be perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm human, which by definition means I am imperfect and will do things that upset people from time to time. And so it's for me trying to separate, like, I'm allowed to do things that somebody's not happy with versus that doesn't mean I'm a bad friend.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a really good point. Nobody's going to be perfect. And also everybody has such unique experiences in their lives and also unique experiences with the communication that they've received. And not that everybody, I mean, I'm sure everybody has some level of like trauma that they work through, not to sound like a TikTok trying to diagnose everybody, but like everybody has had such unique experiences, like and received unique types of communication and relationships, and so the way that everyone processes it might not be exactly how you're intending, and so there's only so much you can do. But if you keep the lines of communication really open, and you just I feel like in the past couple of years being able to just say exactly what I mean as much as I possibly can helps so much. It's made everything infinitely easier than trying to like sugarcoat every single thing that I ever say. And that helps a lot for sure. So you guys have started this matchmaking company, and I'm excited about this because it's called Get Set Up, and you're doing like, is it like mutual friend setup type thing? Like how, so I know that the concept is like the best way to meet somebody is to be set up by someone that you know. So how are you doing this?
Alana.
Yeah.
Take it away. So
it started with, you know, we both worked at dating apps for a few years, myself at Hinge and Carly at Locks Club. And so we know a lot about how dating apps work, how matching works, how getting set up to go on dates work. And since we have no longer been at those jobs for a while now, we are constantly, like, every day people are asking us, like, can you set me up with someone? Do you know someone for me? Like, can you set me up? And we want nothing more than to, like, help people find love. Like, that is why we do what we do. That's why we got into dating and into the dating space. Not physically dating, but for ourselves. But so we kind of wanted to put our heads together and say, like, this is something that we both have different skills in this field, but we also kind of have the same skills and people want it from us. Mm-hmm. And why aren't we doing this? So we decided, like, let's try it. Let's dive in. And it's not necessarily through friends of friends, but we have a huge network. You know, we have, like, Alana's friends, Carly's friends, those friends of friends, people mm-hmm. we've worked with in the past, cousins, like teammates, like all of these people that we know. Plus we have our networks on social media. So Carly has over 125,000 followers on TikTok. I have over 50,000 followers on Instagram. And so there's no way that, like, somebody's perfect person out there or somebody that someone could get along with, like, is not within, like, 2 or 3 degrees of our network. And right. so we've used our reach to get thousands and thousands of people's information into this database. We're not getting people's information. They're giving it to us. They're filling out our matchmaking form. And we are picking people individually because we're starting small to work with and to find out what type of person they're looking for, why things haven't worked out for them in the past, and based on their preferences, okay, who in our database can we set them up with? And I think the other thing I didn't mention is everyone that we know, whether we know personally or through social media, is feeling so much dating app burnout. Mm. And people want this aspect of human connection and humanity back into how they meet people. And so people are always saying to us, like, oh, like, why don't you just make it an app? Well, we don't want to do that because that's right. what's not working for people. And so we are hand picking. We have a spreadsheet. We don't want to automate it for it to match people. You know, we have it look through people's preferences. So if there's, like, an age minimum, a maximum, and religious deal breakers, like, we'll do that. But beyond that, we are then sorting through hundreds of people, looking at their information, looking at the actual, like, sentences that they gave us about themselves to really find somebody who would be a good fit.
Yeah. And I'd love to use this time to just say that again. Alana and I are doing this on our own by hand. And she says we're looking through hundreds of people. We're not. We're actually looking through thousands of people.
My God.
On this database. And we're getting a lot of hate and messages being
every
like,
day.
I signed up for this. Why haven't I heard back? First of all, you signed up for a free database. How it works is you sign up for this database. And at the very end of the form, it says, would you be interested in being a priority setup? A priority setup is where we take you, one single human, and then you pay for this service. We get on a call with you, like an hour call with you. We learn everything there is to know about you. And then we literally become your dating best friends throughout mm-hmm. the entire process. And we are going through and handpicking people to introduce you to. You are lucky if you are one of those free people that gets chosen from this person. But people aren't understanding that it's only two of us. We cannot go through thousands of these people to set them up. And it's yeah. really hard because we want to. We would love yeah. to be able to set every single person up in our database, but go on an app if you want that. Like, we are making this yeah. so personal, and I just wanted to say that because it's really hard for us when we're constantly getting these messages of, why haven't I heard anything? And I'm like,
yeah,
what do you want us to do?
Well, I think people are so used to instant gratification of, like, I signed up for yeah. this app and now I can just, like, swipe and swipe and swipe and start mm-hmm. conversations. And by the end of tonight, I might have a date next week and whatever. And so I think that that's part of it. But the whole point of this whole thing is that it's so intentional and so, like, hand.
Yeah,
hand
personalized.
Picked. Yeah, that's such a great idea. And I can't tell you how many times I've literally Googled, like, not since I've been dating John, but I have Googled in the past, like, matchmaking services, because I'm like, that makes so much sense to me to just have someone else look through. Because really, people are not – there are a lot of people who are not great at representing themselves on apps.
Yep.
There's a lot of people that I know who are just not patient enough to, like, be on an app and be super intentional with the conversations they're having. They just want to, like – figure it out. Like, they want their answer yesterday. And that's not how that works. And so I think this is such a great idea. Have you set anybody up yet? Or are you still in like the preliminary phases?
No, we have. We've set people up. We basically work with, I would say, like 3 to 4 people at a time within like a month span. Mm-hmm. And that's why it takes so long for us to do it, is because we care so much about the people that we are actually setting up. We want to make sure it works. And mm-hmm. Alana and I like aren't in this for the money, because full transparency, we're probably not charging people enough to do this.
We're 1,000% not charging. But that's the other thing, is normal matchmakers charge like $8,000 like minimum for what we're doing. And part of what we wanted to do is find a way to make it more attainable. Like, people who are our age don't have that money to spend on this for the most part.
Yeah.
But we're also like, well, we're putting so much work into this. Like, we need to find some sort of balance where we're still doing, we're the ones doing it. There's not an algorithm, there's not an app, but it takes us a little bit less time and we're charging a little bit more. We're in the works. We're trying to figure it out.
If anybody has any advice.
Yeah. I feel like, we love it. My very not professional advice, because what the hell do I know? Nothing. Big fat nothing. But you could also aim to like hire people so that it's not just you guys. And even if you do like I wonder if you can get create an LLC and get a loan to hire people and make this like business. I mean, that's like a big, that's like you've really committed, but yeah, you know,
we would love
it's a direction we could go in. Yeah. But I think also right now, while we're figuring it out, like it's a hard thing, first of all, to like, not saying we don't trust other people, but mm-hmm. we talk through every single person and why we are or are not going to present it to the person that we're working with. Like,
right.
It's also, we want to really not saying like we'd hire an employee and this person's information wouldn't be protected, but we want to protect the people that we're working with. And people are concerned like, oh, if I fill this out, like, is it going to be plastered everywhere? Am I going to get sent around to everyone? And so sometimes we'll describe somebody to someone when looking to set them up, but we won't always like send their picture, because they might actually know them or know someone who knows them. And we don't want it to get around that this person hired us. So there are a lot of nuances with privacy and just with wanting it to be us doing it. And maybe we'll get there someday, but it's also tough because there are so many different things that we have our own individual careers in terms of our content. I have my podcast. Carly has her incredible, huge TikTok platform and audience. We have our podcast together and we have this. And so we're not ready to go 0 to 1,000 on anything yet. I think we're testing the waters with everything and seeing what feels right for us, what makes the most sense, and where we can have the biggest impact.
But I think our ultimate goal, like, this is something we are both so passionate in. And if Alana and I could make a full-on career out of matching people, that is our dream. I think it's just figuring out how do we do that that's fair to people, but that also makes sense for us to put in this much work and effort. Yeah. And there's only 2 of us. So we're still navigating that, but we have set up some amazing people, and it is super exciting when we do that, because then it's like, oh, this is working.
Yeah. Have you gotten like positive feedback from the people you've matched people with?
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. A ton.
Yay. That's so awesome. I love this idea. I think this is so brilliant, and I'm so excited to see how it all just like continues to unfold. It's going to be very cool.
Us too.
Yeah, us too.
So now both of you guys are engaged, and it's happened like within a few months of each other, which is very fun, because that means that you guys can share wedding stress and wedding planning things and discuss that with each other. That's exciting. And also, my sister is getting married in 2025, and I cannot, she's starting all the planning stuff now because you literally have to, and it's so stressful and so expensive.
Yeah.
I think it was Alana, you were talking about how you know people who have literally medicated themselves to get through their wedding day.
Multiple.
That's wild. Yeah. That is wild. Do you have any like big priorities for your respective weddings?
For like the day itself?
For the day itself, yeah. Like, is there anything that you're like, I am definitely not, like, I know for my sister, it was, and this is like so silly, but until you're planning a wedding, I don't think people understand how necessary it is. No. She's really prioritizing being able to eat all of the food that she's paying for. So
that
she's
a very good idea.
Yeah. And so they're going to like, at some point they're going to set aside time for them to actually go and eat like even the cocktail hour food and stuff like that. And so those are things that like you literally have to think about it, and it's crazy. Is there anything that's like on your list that you're like, I'm definitely doing this and no questions asked about it? That's what's
such
happening.
A good question. I actually don't think I have one yet, and I feel like it's because I've been in this wedding stress of just planning that I haven't even thought about like the actual day.
Yeah.
I don't know.
For me, I knew I wanted a white dance floor.
Ooh.
Actually, same.
That was one thing where I knew, like, I went, when we went to like our florist, like I don't know a thing about flowers. I don't care. I don't care what color they are. There will be flowers and they'll be pretty. But my photographer will do a great job. Like all of our vendors, I'm like, great. Like we're hiring you because you know what you're doing.
Right.
Like I trust you. I want a white dance floor. I feel like in all of the photos that I looked at of other people's weddings, there are so many ugly, just like wood floors and dance floors. And if the dance floor is being brought in and put in, which at most of these places it is, it may as well look nice. And I've seen white or like white and black checkered dance floors. And it just, I think it transforms the room. And the floor is in all of the pictures from the reception.
Yeah, facts. It elevates it all.
It's a simple thing that elevates it so much. That was one thing in terms of like the actual wedding. That was a weird thing that I never would have thought of. But in terms of the wedding day, I want to find a way to just like not be stressed. And I don't know if that is humanly possible, but I would love for it to be like a calm and peaceful day.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny you say the white dance floor because I never thought about that, but that was one of Jason's requirements. Like he needs a white dance floor. I'm like, okay, I don't really care, but sure. Something that I am just so nervous about because I know myself is like not worrying about the content that is going to be taken on my wedding day.
Yeah.
And because it's my career, it's literally my life, and I'm always thinking about it, which is one of the biggest cons of being a content creator, because sometimes it's very hard for me to live in the moment, which I am actively working on. But my wedding day, I just want to live in the moment and not worry about what is getting captured. And I feel like I need to start practicing right now. My wedding is literally tomorrow. No, it's like 6 months.
Honestly, I've heard of people who hire someone.
We are.
Don't worry.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Who's going to like take social media content for you, because it's like, it's not worth. And I think that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Like
I have someone literally coming to do that at my engagement photo shoot later this week.
Yeah. As they should. And that makes it so much easier, because then you can actually enjoy what's happening. I'm the opposite, where like I go through my life like I don't do this for a living. And so I will constantly do things. And then later that night, I'm like, oh, you know what?
That would have been good.
I probably should have taken a picture, shouldn't I? Like it doesn't even occur to me. And that's great. It's not, because because of that. Then I'm constantly like, I don't know what to post. And in reality.
Well, see, but here's the thing. I look at you and I'm like, wow, I need to like channel my inner Alyssa, because Alyssa is doing such a good job.
I do that with you.
At posting her stories. Like I need to do more Alyssa.
Oh my God. Wait, I do that with you. That's so funny. Wow. Okay. Well,
we
learned something
today.
Some
middle ground area.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, social media is always going to be just like an arena of comparison constantly.
Yeah.
And realistically, like when I think about the people that I like, some people that I follow who are really good at documenting everything on their socials, I'm like that's great. And I enjoy looking at their content, but at the same time, when I'm out in public, I'm just still not comfortable being the person who's like taking a million pictures and I can't. It just makes me feel so weird. And it gives me this like, and it's in my head. I know it is, but it makes me feel like I'm implying this self-importance that I need to do this. And like everyone around me is like, the fuck do you think you are? And in reality, I know that that's probably not what people are thinking if they know me in real life. But that's the story that I consistently tell myself in my brain.
One of my really close friends is very like, doesn't ever think to take a picture, like doesn't ever have her phone on her, never responds to texts.
Yeah.
And I from the beginning, I think she was a little like, what is Alana doing with her career now? And I try really hard to like not, especially if it's not people I'm like super close, but like I'm not going to be filming everything that we're all doing. But she recently went on a bachelorette party with this girl who has a few hundred thousand followers, came on it, and she was like, Alana, it was the craziest thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never seen somebody spend more time posing or like creating these things to take pictures and videos of every single second. Like, there was not a single second where she was not posting or posing in some weird way. That's or stressful. Making everybody do something. And I was like, I'm so glad you had that experience. She's like, doesn't that make me look like a saint? She's like, no, it literally does.
Yeah. I will never forget. I was at a party in LA, and it was like, I was in LA mostly through COVID. So this is like the first couple of times where I could actually be out and about. And the first time I saw this a million times after, but the first time that I saw this was at this party where someone literally brought like this type of a light. Yeah, like this.
Yeah.
But it was like this big box, and she was just holding it and taking pictures at the same time. And at the time I was like, wow, that's wild. But in reality, all those pictures turned out beautiful. And anytime I'm out, any of the pictures that I take look like I took them on an iPhone 2 because I'm not carrying a light around with me. So it's like, I don't know, the lesser of two evils in that circumstance.
I will say, I've gone to influencer events and I've seen people like have that. And I'm like, oh, I wish I had the confidence to walk around with that light.
You know what, though? I think so much of it is also just like your disposition when you're doing stuff like that. Because like there's – I was recently out with Nancy, who did season 3 of Love is Blind. And I freaking love her. She's like the sweetest, most grounded, down to earth person. And I think because everyone knows that that's what her personality is, like, she was not the person that I'm talking about, but she did have some sort of light for around her phone. And all the pictures that she took were beautiful. Everyone was using her light. Like, and she was taking pictures of other people. She's the kind of person where like there was like a step and repeat. And she literally brought a camera, a digital camera, to take video of the step and repeat. Like, so I took a video of her, and she immediately like threw me in, was like, okay, I'm gonna take a picture or a video of you. She's like doing the content for herself, doing it for everybody else. And she has such like an everybody wins mentality that helps a lot versus like bringing a light to things like that always just kind of feels like, it feels so like self-centered, but she does it in such a beautiful way. I'm like, however she's doing it is exactly how I'm going to try and do it. Cause it's tough. It feels really weird.
It does.
But so then where do you gain your sense of like confidence for the things that you want to share? Where do you gain that confidence from? Or do you just like throw it out there and see what happens?
Look for it and find it and not find it.
Yeah, 1 second.
I don't see it anywhere. Can you order that for delivery?
Is that on Postmates?
It's funny. I feel like I think I've been trying to do this more, but being more vulnerable and more authentically myself on social media rather than looking so perfected. I know, like, when Alana first met me, she thought I was just this really confident person. Nothing was ever wrong. And later did she learn that that was not true. But I don't know. I feel like I'm starting to have that, like, I don't give a fuck attitude. Mm-hmm. And that's the era that I'm in right now. Like, I know the stuff I'm posting on Instagram is being judged. And people are like, who does she think she is? And at the same time, I'm like, everyone else is doing it. Like, this is my career. Like, this is what's going to work. So,
and whenever you get in that mind space, just remind yourself that someone literally made apple butter and was roasted in the comments. A woman who's a mom was making soup for her sick children and got roasted in the comments. By the way, part of what she got roasted about was that she used like chicken broth that was already made. And they were like, that's not homemade soup. You didn't boil a whole chicken. And she was like, I had a child literally throwing up, so I didn't have time to get a whole chicken and boil it.
She didn't go on there and say, here's the most authentic homemade recipe that you could ever make.
Right. She's like, my kid is sick, and so this is what we're making, and that's what's happening. Right. So bizarre. And that, honestly, seeing those videos has helped me a lot, because I also get in that space where I'm like, I overthink so much of it. And in reality, like, when you stop worrying about the outcome, everything ends up being so much – like, it's less stress for you, and also it somehow seems to, like, be received.
Yeah. And I feel like I've gotten more success from stop, like, giving so much of a fuck.
Yeah.
And, like, judge me all you want, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah, totally.
I think what I've realized is the more vulnerable – and just myself I am, the more that people connect to it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my mission all along is to help people, you know, in their dating lives and their daily lives, just feel less alone, whatever they're going through. And me being more off the cuff, me being more open about things I've struggled with, random thoughts in my head, silly things that I deal with on a day-to-day basis, that's what people actually want to see. And that's what will help somebody's day be 0.01% better or more, hopefully.
I think more. 0.01 is real low. Give yourself more credit.
Yeah.
That's the goal. That's the goal. I'm not like delusional and thinking like a video I post is going to change somebody's day or change somebody's life. But if it can make somebody feel a little bit better, then it was worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that like having the mindset that you have, the both of you have, about making stuff that's just like vulnerable and authentic and just like not trying to overly perfect it also helps, because I think I understand that people like to see really polished content sometimes. And sometimes that like aspirational stuff is kind of fun to watch.
Yeah.
But making content like that, like it looks really beautiful, but for someone who's receiving something like that, sometimes it feels really shitty. You're like, wow, like that is not what my house looks like. And that is not attainable to me literally at all. And it's nice to also contribute to that space and be like, I posted a vlog recently. A mini vlog. It did shit on Instagram. Whatever. It's fine. Yeah. But it was like purposefully a non-aesthetic, like,
No,
I was
real.
Literally like. Gonna say the same exact thing. I always watch those and I'm like, wow, like must be nice. And I've even tried making them and I just felt fake.
Yeah.
And they just don't look good. And so the other day I posted, I think it was like a 4-minute, literally like a real day in the life vlog. I didn't edit it. I would just, anytime I was going to do something, I'd pop my camera on and I would just like do what I was doing. Yeah. It flopped completely. Like terrible.
I liked it.
But it feels better, honestly.
Yeah,
it feels
really
so
good.
It feels really silly. Like when I think about people who do like a day in the life vlog and they film when they're in their bed and waking up, I'm like, now I know your ass got up.
And went to put a camera.
Yes. And then you got back in bed and pretended to be asleep and woke up? No.
Yep. And this time I was like, I'm going to lay in bed. Here's my camera. Here's me waking up. Like
my favorite, one of my top 10 favorite like friendship moments with Carly, because Carly has made a lot of those videos where she like gets up out of bed.
Oh, yeah.
And makes
I definitely
whatever.
Have.
Who among us has not?
We had our like first friendship sleepover. We went to Miami for the weekend together and we shared a bed, and in the morning she woke up and like big stretched her arms, and I looked at her, my jaw dropped, and I was like, oh my god, you actually do that in real life? Because it was this so specific stretch that she did in all of her like get ready with me, wake up with me videos, and to see her do it in person, I was like dumbfounded. I'm like, that just happened.
She was being genuine and authentic. That is how she wake up.
Put the camera.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's amazing. I love that so much. Well, I think you guys both make amazing content separately and together, and I'm so excited for all these like very cool things that you have coming up, and I'm so happy that we could finally do this.
I know.
It was worth the wait.
I love this.
Yay, good. So I ask everyone who comes on the podcast for their piece of dating advice. I know Alana does this also. Is there any piece of dating advice that you would like to impart on us today? Alana, you've done this already. I can't remember what you said the first time around, but if there's any.
I know what my go-to is, but I can definitely think of another. I likely said, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Probably, yeah. I think that is what it was.
I know what Carly's going to say.
Yeah.
I'm excited
but
for her
so
to say
basic,
it.
It's so basic, and I'm like, should I say something different?
But that's okay. No, because you know what? Half the people who come on seeing other people say, be yourself, and it's a good reminder to be your freaking self.
Yeah.
Okay. Mine is rejection is redirection.
Yes, that's my favorite one too.
I will literally die on that hill.
I feel that way with friendships. I feel that way with relationships. I feel that way with
career.
Jobs. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. That's good advice. I love that one.
I will go with, you're going to be okay. you're going to be okay. Like no matter what you're going through right now and how much pain you're in or how afraid you are or how anxious you feel, like I promise this feeling is temporary and you're going to be okay. And you're not the first person in the world to feel this way or go through this thing. And you're not the last. So I think there's comfort in knowing that you're not alone. And I promise you will get through this. You will be okay.
I have one more.
Yes. Please share.
She reminded me. You cannot die from a heartbreak.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that.
I think that's like how your platforms feel to me is like the you'll be okay, you won't die. It's gonna suck, but it'll be okay. Yeah. That's literally what I feel like your platforms feel like. It's like
aww.
Like a cozy hug. You aww. Know? It's that. The pastina that your that's mom such makes a good
compliment. Oh my god. Yeah.
That's what it is.
The best, you know, when you're sick. I yeah. love that.
The chicken soup from a box.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh my gosh. Well, okay. So everyone needs to check out everything that you guys have going on. So Seeing Other People is Alana's podcast, recently featured in the New York Times.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you frame
crazy.
That, by the way?
I haven't yet because I have to order like a weird custom like frame for okay. the size of the article. But I went and like bought the New York Times a few copies and it was really cool.
That is, I'm so congratulations. Sorry. That is so thank wild. You. So well-deserved. Like it just, that's so insane. I'm sure that was thank very you. Surreal, especially because you said you didn't know it was happening, right? Just like.
Yeah. Just happened. It was very surreal until some asshole decided to comment like, oh, well, I wouldn't want to be a feature of the New York Times because they do this, this, and this bad thing. Oh, like God. You shouldn't be proud of that or promoting that.
Where is your mention in a yeah. in a worldwide known like, you know what? Newspaper?
That's okay. I'm still really excited about it, but thank you for your concern.
You know what? The worst part of all the social media stuff is I cannot let things go. If that man comes,
no.
Same. The first thing I thought of when you said that is I'm going to find that comment. I'm going to find that and I'm going to say something to that guy. And I know that that's not helpful and I need to let things go sometimes, but other times I'm like, I will end no. you. I will end you.
I want to list like on that. My team.
It's you. I don't know if you do because it's frightening.
I think I do.
It really I'm here. I'm here to fist fight anybody in the comments because they're great. All ridiculous.
Great.
But anyways, so Life in Progress comes out every Tuesday or no Wednesday. I literally wrote down Wednesday, read it, and then said Tuesday. So okay. That's good. And you can follow those accounts on socials. You can follow the girlies separately. Seeing Other People. If you want Carly and Alana. There are several places to find Carly. Yeah,
there are a lot.
You're many.
You can so fill many. You can fill that cup in many ways. Yes, in many ways. Can. And we're all very lucky for it. So
overflow.
Exactly. The cup overfloweth with Carly and Alana. And we're happy.
That'll be our new name.
And we are pleased. Anyways, thank you guys for coming on. This has been so fun. Thank the time you. Always flies with you guys. And I know. I'm so excited for everything that you guys are doing. And you're just like little entrepreneurial girlies and it's just awesome. So I appreciate you coming on and I'm sure we'll have you back.
Yes, please.
So
if we ever decide to have guests, you'll be the first to know, but we haven't decided that yet.
In the meantime, I will be a loyal listener because I think it's such a great concept for a show and your vulnerability and your honesty is like so refreshing. Even like, I feel like people say that all the time. That, oh yeah, the vulnerability is refreshing. And still, it still is. Like, it just really is. And so I'm really proud of you both.
That means and, so much. Like, I could cry.
Don't cry on the pod. I might. But I'm excited to have you guys back literally anytime. And I appreciate us finally getting this all together.
Yeah, we love you. Thank you. You.
This was so fun. Thank you yeah. so much.
Of course. Thank you so much for listening. As a reminder, we are always accepting questions about sex ed, about relationships, life advice. We will accept it all. We would love to hear from you. So send us an email to AlyssaExplainsItAllPod@gmail.com.